Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Redondo Beach, More to See. On November 16th, 2016, live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show, Redondo Beach, More to See, is brought to you by the Redondo Beach Chamber of Commerce and Visitors Bureau. For over 108 years, the Redondo Beach Chamber has played a vital role in helping companies grow their business by taking the lead in programs and efforts that help create a strong local economy and make the community a great place to do business. The Chamber is committed to promoting the community through its aggressive tourism program and by participating in efforts that improve the quality of life in Redondo Beach. In addition, the Chamber represents the interests of business by working year-round to ensure local elected officials and other decision-makers are educated on the impact their actions have on the local economy. Networking programs provide opportunities for members to sell their products and services to peers and make lifelong connections. The Redondo Chamber is also the proud sponsor of signature events in Redondo Beach, such as the Redondo Beach Lobster Festival and Super Bowl Sunday 10K. For additional information on how the Redondo Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Redondo Beach, visit the website at visitredondo.com.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and producer of The South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I am doing great this morning, Joe. How are you? How was your birthday yesterday?
My birthday was great. I had a great time. We didn't go anywhere, but I had a wonderful dinner with my wife and my son and a few delicious filet mignons. So it was a great evening. And, you know, my birthday, oh my gosh, 57. It's crazy.
I don't think you're supposed to say age on air.
What? I don't know. I feel like it's kind of a badge of honor. You know, I think, you know, the 57 isn't the 57 of
absolutely. Yeah. No, it ain't your dad's 57. That's for sure.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. No, I agree. Never complain of growing old. You know, the alternative is a lot worse. Right?
Right.
So every year you're here, but we're not going to be mentioning my years, you know, when my turn's around.
No,
okay?
Of course not. Right. No, you're still 29, right?
Yeah, I'll always be 29, forever 29, yeah.
And going out and partying, what did you do last night?
It's not partying, it's work. You know, it's so, you know, everybody's like, ooh, you going out partying? No, it's not partying, it's work. I was at a new restaurant last night. It's not open yet. It's not opening until Saturday. It's 21 Square Bar and Kitchen.
Yes.
It's located at the Torrance Marriott in Torrance. You know the Torrance Marriott over on Fashion Way near the mall. Yeah.
Yes.
You know how hotels have their own little bar lounge area.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this place is completely redone. Whatever was there before, completely gutted. They did a gorgeous job inside. It's really beautiful. Nice big bar, great lighting. Decor is beautiful, and they have this wonderful outdoor patio with one of these modern fire pits, you know, like in the table. So last night they had a media dinner to introduce the local media to this new 21 Square. And all the usual suspects were there. Richard Foss from the Easy Reader and Michael from Beach Reporter and South Bay Foodies. Brian was there from South Bay Foodies, and Gloria and I went and we got to taste a bunch of their menu items and some of their new cocktails, and boy, they've really gone out. They went above and beyond with what they're doing. Wait until you see the pictures.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, they've taken all the classic bar foods and drinks,
mm-hmm.
and just tweaked it a little bit here and there. Very interesting stuff. And they also have a very special relationship with Absolution Brewing. You know, Absolution Brewing over in Torrance. Well, you know, this whole, like, everything is hyper-local now?
Yeah.
You know? Well, the Marriott, international brand, right? But this hotel is really focusing on the fact that it's in Torrance and what Torrance has to offer. Even a lot of their decor is Torrance-themed. Anyway, they have a relationship with one of our local craft brewers, Absolution, where the kitchen staff, the chef and his staff, they went to Absolution and they made their own beer for 21 Square. They came up with it. They made it. It's a limited production. It's called 21 and Over.
Right.
And you can only get this beer at 21 Square.
Wow.
It's a private label brew and yeah, it's great. And there's a lot of other little things, but I don't want to give it all away because you'll see it in my write up when I get around to doing my write up.
Well, as a hyper local urban farmer, I love nothing better than hearing about people doing something truly local and special that you can't get anywhere else.
Exactly.
That's amazing. That's really what people love about being in a place is experiencing that place that is like no other.
Right. Right. Yeah. And as I said, I mean, they've taken it even a step further. You know, they made their own beer. I think he said it was a limited production, 365 gallons. And they've got the tap. They've got their own tap for that beer, and it's the only place you can get it.
That's very exciting.
And it was very good, by the way. It was very good.
I can't wait to see the pictures by the glorious and talented photographer Gloria Placentia.
Yeah, Gloria was there last night.
Gloria.
Yes, Gloria. So that's the thing to look forward to. But they're opening Saturday.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm going to try to get it out, you know, prior to Saturday so that people can see what we're talking about.
Okay. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting. You know what? It's very exciting what's going on in the South Bay always, but you know, there's a little bit of a little edge this year. I mean, with the Redondo Shade opening up and some very exciting things happening around town, it's really going to be an exciting holiday season. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited. You know me, I'm always excited.
One thing you know, though, Jackie, I haven't been to a really great theater production lately. My wife and I thought about Hamilton, but then the timing just didn't work out. We'd love to see it if it comes back around again. But there are some great theater productions here in the South Bay, aren't there?
There are.
And we're looking forward to more, especially, you know, big productions. I mean, it's almost like Broadway in the South Bay.
Yeah.
I'd love to talk to someone from a theater production company that really knows what they're talking about.
Okay, just ask me.
Jackie, who's our guest today?
Our guest this morning is Gigi Fusco-Meese from 3D Theatrical. Now, Gigi was recently appointed as the organization's Director of Community Relations and comes with a wealth of experience in the nonprofit arts community. Gigi joined 3D after serving as Managing Director of the Long Beach Opera, Executive Director of the Anaheim Performing Arts Center Foundation, and Musical Theater West in Long Beach, where she held the title of Director of Public and Community Relations. Prior to her stint with Musical Theater West, Gigi served for 8 years as executive director and producer for the Long Beach Playhouse, overseeing the operations of a two-stage performing arts venue. Her business background comes from 17 years in the mortgage banking real estate industry. Now, Gigi is an award-winning theatrical director and is the recipient of the 2006 Distinguished Arts Professional of the Year Award from the Arts Council of Long Beach. She was also named Woman of the Year in Theater by the Newport Beach Costa Mesa newspaper, The Daily Pilot. Now, this morning, we're going to learn about 3D Theatrical's upcoming shows at their venue at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center. Welcome to the program, Gigi. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. Happy birthday, Joe. I didn't realize I would have baked a cake if I would have known. A little late to the party.
Well,
but thank you very much for the warm welcome. After listening to that resume, that Gigi Fuscomi sounds like a real interesting gal.
She does.
I have to tell you, Gigi, I love your name. Fusco. Fusco is one of my favorite characters on a TV show. There's a TV
really?
Show. It just ended. It was called Person of Interest. And it was on CBS, and it was a great TV show. And one of the characters that I loved, his name was Detective Fusco.
Yes, it was.
Really? Well, yeah. I'll have to check that out. You know, you don't see that very often, the name Fusco pop up, but I'll have to check that out. You know, and just to let you know that my name Gigi, my full name is Giovanna Fusco, but nobody could pronounce it correctly when I was a little girl, when I was a baby. So my mom's favorite musical was Gigi.
Gigi. I love that.
So there
movie.
You go.
I love
so
that.
It
movie.
Was destined. It was destined for me to be involved in musical theater somehow, some way.
Gigi, I know the words to every song from that soundtrack. I love that. I love that movie.
Well, if I had a dollar for every time one of my parents' friends said, "Oh, Gigi, Gigi, da 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 da," oh,
yeah,
I'd be a millionaire.
This is, you know, the heart of, we talk about hyperlocal. That's what we talk about all the time, 3 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And theater is one of those things that, you know, will never, ever be as good as it will be in person. If you're not there
Correct.
In person, it's not theater. It's something else.
Well,
it's a movie. It's a TV
it is,
show.
It is exactly, you know, unlike other art form, or really like the movies or TV. We could sit around a TV together with our spouse or, you know, loved ones and watch a movie. But it's that shared experience being in the audience. It's not only the audience experience, but it's the performer's experience as well.
Right.
You have that one time to get it right. You're all hearing that note at the same time. The actors are delivering that line that one time. And the audience is there to receive it. And if it's a comedy, they're either laughing or they're not,
right.
Or they're rejoicing, or they're tapping their toes to the music, and it's a beautiful shared experience for all of us. And with musical theater being truly the American art form that it is, it's really something wonderful to experience with your community, with your friends and family, and also, you know, to bring your kids and grandkids there to hear or see these stories come to life.
Right.
I have a quick question, Gigi. You just said something
yes.
that I'm very interesting. You said musical theater and the American musical theater. Now, Joe and I always have talked about theater starting way back when in Greece, right? You know, it was the original entertainment, and it comes up through England with Shakespeare, and he took it to another level. Is musical theater an American invention?
Well, it has its roots in opera, but the theater that you see today definitely rooted in American ingenuity, if you will. When you look at the beginning stages of musical theater, where, like, let's just take Rodgers and Hammerstein and taking the stories that they would take from the American experience and then bring them to life with music on stage. It all grows together, but it is an American art form, and I think if you look at the long history of Broadway and Broadway musicals, it's being an American art form, it's peppered with all kinds of influences, and it tells all kinds of different stories, and it's, to me, it adds to the quality of life to any community.
Isn't that interesting, Joe? I never thought about that before. I mean, I know in London theater, they do musicals now, but did they do musicals before we were doing musicals here?
everybody was doing musicals at the same time, but the format that we know now as the musical, if you go to Broadway, I mean, there's all kinds of, you look at all the history, it's from the operas, from the light operas to the cabaret to then the structured book musical. The thing is, I hope this conversation elicits some interest from our listeners today to go out and Google or get a book, do some research about the history of musical theater. It's really quite fascinating because it's something to read a book like Lin-Manuel Miranda, who took the world by storm with Hamilton. If you read his story, he was on vacation after doing Into the Heights, the biography of Hamilton, and it inspired him to write this hit that's on Broadway now, that's now engaging young people to look at this time in our American history and this figure in our history. For a lot of people didn't know, you'd see him on the $10 bill, but didn't know his story. But right. It was because he sat there and read this book, and out of his mind and out of his fingertips to the pen and the paper, or now the laptop, we have this amazing piece of Broadway history playing on. And it's going to be coming to LA next year. So, and everybody wants to see it. I mean, that's the most amazing thing, to be able to put this artwork out there. And in a way, music transcends all kinds of language and expression. And to just get to see young people involved and wanting to see it and be part of it, it's really inspiring. Because right. when you put that up against, I put that up against all the old, what we call the old chestnuts, you know, the Sound of Musics and stuff that we all know and love from our childhood. This is the new classics coming up, and it's really inspiring.
I remember when I was in high school, we did the Pirates of Penzance in high school, and it was a really, really fun production. It's in English. It was New Year's Eve, 1879. Was the premiere of Pirates of Penzance. Now it's an American English kind of a thing, but of course you've got the Japanese theater has a tremendous musical.
Right, everybody has their own history and they express it in their way. I'm talking more specifically like the book musical like we know now. Because Pirates of Penzance really is opera.
Right.
It's a light opera. Now right. I want to preface this for those who might be
or cozy fun.
I don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah,
cozy fun. I'm not by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. That is a musical, almost a modern musical. And that's the 1750s, 1760s.
Yeah.
But he was, you know, he was special.
Well, yes. You can't compare. There's no comparison.
Yeah.
But when you look at the musicals that came out of Broadway in the early 50s, if you think about it too, when you look at the early days of television, live TV, the variety shows, what did they have to offer their audiences but were snippets from Broadway shows?
Right.
If you look at the old variety shows, they were showing scenes from Camelot and from Sound of Music and Peter Pan, because that's they were new. These were new offerings at the time. And just when you just look at the history of what we have, the musicals we have on our Broadway stages from the 1950s to now, it's really something. And that's why you see so many Broadway enthusiasts out there who love live musical theater, which is just so happens to be what we at 3D Theatricals produce at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center.
It's funny that you said that, Gigi, because at the variety shows in the 50s, you know where they still do that? The Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, right? All of the musical numbers generally are from Broadway shows, aren't they?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
So much,
I don't know about. Now, I have a question for you. Do you remember, other than your high school production, do you remember your first show that maybe your parents took you to or a family member took you to? Can you tell me about that show?
I'll tell you something. I was a theater rat growing up. My parents, our first one, I'll be honest with you, I can't remember which one it was. There was a theater out in Jones Beach. I'm from New York. And there was a theater out in Jones Beach, outdoor. Actually, the stage was on the water. And there was like an amphitheater set up for the audience. There was a little canal of water that went between us and the stage. And every summer when we were kids, my parents would take us out to see whatever show was playing that summer. And I think it was either Shenandoah or Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. It was one of those kind of, you know, Western musicals.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But it was one of those that was one of my first. And we were young. You know, we were maybe seven. I was maybe seven or eight. But my parents were always big fans of theater. We didn't live that far from the theater district in New York. But years later, I was dating a guy who was in the ticket business. And in the ticket business, like if you work for a basketball team in the front office and tickets, or you work in a theater in front office and tickets, everybody knows everybody. So you get tickets to everything. And free tickets to everything.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, I mean, I literally was going to maybe three plays a week, two or three concerts a week, while I was dating this guy for 5 or 6 years. And what you said about having that experience in the theater with just that group of people in the theater, and every night, each show is a little bit different, you know, and sometimes something goes wrong or somebody flubs
behind,
or a stage prop doesn't work, a curtain doesn't come down, or a light doesn't come on or something. And you're seeing it, and you're the only group of people that are ever going to see that.
You're going to have that shared moment.
I will never forget. We went to see, it was called American Buffalo, and it was starring Al Pacino.
And
at the very last scene, which is a heavy scene, and he's sitting there talking to a young actor, and it's a very heavy, very dramatic scene, and he messed up a line, and he bust out laughing. And he couldn't stop laughing. And he's sitting there with his hands on his face, doubled over in hysterics. And we were sitting like in the front row center. And you could see him. You could see him losing it on stage. And but those things happen like all the time.
I'll tell you as pardon me, I don't mean to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead. I've acted a lot in my years, and I direct a lot of local theater, and I'll tell you that experience for, if I could give you the performer's side of it, is that, you know, you go out there and that show could change night to night depending on the audience.
Right.
You could go out there and there's nights that you just kill. I mean, every joke lands, there's holding their sides from laughing. If you're in a comedy, hopefully, or you go out there and it's cricket. You don't hear anything. You get no energy. But then at the end, you get this thunderous applause. Audiences are very observant. They're not big, loud laughers. They know what's going on. They're keeping up with you. But as a performer, you're like, oh, my God, what's going on? That energy is huge. When you're rehearsing a show and getting ready to open, I just recently directed a show in Long Beach. Those few nights before you have your first full audience, you're wondering, oh, my God, is this working? Because nobody's – the lighting people are looking at the lighting, and the costume people are looking at the costume. Nobody's laughing or reacting because everybody's doing their bit to make this thing open. So they don't know if it's working or not. Then you get that first audience. That will catapult you exactly to where you need to be. It's like, okay, I get it. This is working. Let's go. Let's do this. And it's just the greatest energy. And again, it's that first time experiencing laying down that line to an audience, and hopefully that they'll react. You know, and when it does, And when it worked, telling you that there's no better feeling. It's you're just on top of the world when you make an audience laugh or cry or get behind a character and you're getting a reaction from them. For a performer's point of view, there's just nothing better than that.
That's what all the actors say, the TV and screen actors.
What a great conversation this is. Ladies and gentlemen, join us. You're listening to the South Bay Show, and we're talking musical theater. We're talking 3D theatricals. And if you want to find out more about 3D theatricals, they would love for you to find out more at 3DTheatricals.com. .org 3D theatricals all spelled out .org. Of course, we'd also like if you'd like to join our discussion for you to call in. Please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288 and tell us about your first theatrical experience. We'd love to hear it. So, Gigi, mine was a big one.
Okay.
It was a Hammerstein lyric. It wasn't a Rodgers music. It was Jerome Kern.
Oh, really?
Yes. And it was Showboat.
Oh, well, there you go.
And it was... My mom and my dad were really excited. There was some local woman that in Chicago that had done a great deal of theater, who was the character Queenie, and that was a big production. And of course, that show has Old Man River in it, and I think Queenie's big song is "Can't Help Lovin' That Man."
And
oh my God, it was an eye opener. I thought I'd died and gone to heaven.
Well, you know, just everybody I talked to when I asked them, you know, share with me the story of the first show that you attended. It's powerful. People remember a lot of the details,
right.
Just how it was life changing, but they know the show. They know what they were. For me, my parents took my sister and I to see Camelot at Long Beach Civic Light Opera.
Mm-hmm.
I remember them getting us dressed up in our Sunday best. We went to Bob's Big Boy for dinner beforehand. My sister had the spaghetti with the chili on top, which made my Italian father crazy. And we went, and when those lights went up, I was like, what is this? What is this all about?
Is this legal?
It was life-changing. And even for those who they're not, you know, crazy Broadway fans like maybe we are, it's still you can't help but remember these moments fondly and hope that you instill this in, you know, people around you, the love of going to the theater. It's a great option. You know, first of all, Redondo Beach is such an amazing community. You have in your midst a beautiful performing arts center. There's a lot of communities that aren't as lucky.
We have a few people to thank, but I would like to mention the name Jim Blackman as the singular person we have to thank for the state of that beautiful venue. Even though he's no longer associated with the venue, he drove the need and made it happen. That's all I have to say.
Well, it's a beautiful, beautiful venue. 3D, we're in our fourth season. And we're a young company. We started in 2009, and through the visionary leadership of T.J. Dawson, the Dawson family started this company, and we're now a nonprofit organization since 2012. Mm. We have grown by leaps and bounds. They started doing Peter Pan at the OC Pavilion Theater, which is now part of the campus of the Orange County School for the Arts, and then moved to the Plummer Auditorium in Fullerton. And now we're the resident musical theater company in two beautiful performing arts centers, the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center, and we have just kicked off our first season as the resident at the Cerrito Center for the Performing Arts.
Now, what does it mean for the resident theater company for a venue?
Well, in our case, we're the only musical theater company at a venue that is offering this type of work and on a subscription basis. And so what we do, we are local. We cast locally. We hire our tech people locally. And so once we do our shows at Redondo and Cerritos, then that's it. They don't go anywhere else. I mean, we don't go to Broadway. We don't travel in the country. We're not a traveling group. So we're hiring local. There's so much talent here locally that, you know, when you see the auditions and you see the people lined out the door to come try to win a part, it's just so awe-inspiring.
Well, every once in a while we have a show, Gigi, where we say Hollywood lives in the South Bay.
Yes. Yes.
So
yes.
Talent. Yeah, we got it.
It's just astounding how much talent that's out there. But you know, there's something I want to touch on too in this community that, you know, we're a nonprofit arts organization, and a lot of people in the community. You were talking about the chamber, who is the sponsor of this program. We're proud members. You know, the business community, the community at large, they do such a great job in getting the word out about all the good work that's being done in the community, the businesses that are so philanthropic and support organizations for children, for education, for the arts, and also to promote business. We're an economic driver in the community. If you think about an evening out to go see a show, we're just going to go see the show we decided to go. I want you to stop and think how that's affected. If you have, kids at home, you got to hire a babysitter. There's a job. You're going to go out to dinner. You have to that baby valet your car. You've employed now that valet person. You are now getting maybe cocktails at the bar. You're getting dinner. So you've tipped a bartender, now a waiter, waitress, people in the back cooking your dinner. You're driving to the Performing Arts Center, and God love Redondo Beach. It's free to park there. But then you look at all these people that are in there to put on this show for you. I mean, the hiring all of this orchestra, these professional musicians, the professional actors and actresses on stage, the tech people that are maybe pulling people on a fly system like in Peter Pan and such, and bringing in sets, painting sets. You're hiring prop people, lighting people, people to take that follow spot and follow the lead on the stage, the ticket takers. And then, you know, after the show, you go home. But the actors are now going to the bar and visiting that bartender, maybe. So, you know, when you look at the organization, we are the people that work for these organizations, not just 3D, but other nonprofit groups. They're on the payroll. They're paying into the system. They're getting payroll taxes, and they're residents of your community. And they're out there, you know, being able to support their families and go to your restaurants and grocery stores and all those things. So the nonprofit and the nonprofit arts section, which obviously is very close to my heart, is that it's an economic driver for any really good community. Not only are we here to produce really good, and I'm talking Broadway caliber theater in your community.
Right.
We drive the economic engine to the bottom line in the community as well.
You know,
so
Gigi,
I think that's some things people don't think about.
Gigi, left out a couple of important things. You're forgetting about before you go to the theater, the day before, you might want to go get a mani and pedi. You might want to go get your hair done. You might buy a new outfit. I mean, yeah, you're right. You're right.
Economic driver, right?
Yeah.
For the community.
An economic driver, absolutely. And also, it's, you know, when you go to see a show, hopefully it's something, you know, it's the theater audience is changing a little bit. It used to be, you know, a real subscription-based audience. The younger people, they don't like to commit so much to a date. So they'll say, hey, you know, there's a show tonight. I'm going to see what's playing. Then I'll go. It's something that all the arts organizations are adjusting to because we are the best deal. The best value is certainly being a season subscriber. But just getting those audiences in to see a show that they like. And we try to have programming that we have the tried and true, like we have coming up Oklahoma. And then Rodgers and Hammerstein that's coming up. Also, we're going to end our season this year with Monty Python's Spamalot. And if you're a Monty Python fan, this show, this is one of my favorite contemporary shows. I love every song in the show. It is funny. The music's inspiring. It's so great. In February, we'll be doing a production of Once on This Island, which is a Caribbean version of the, let's say, the Little Mermaid tale, which the music is just fabulous. Sets, costume, lighting. You'll think you are in Broadway and you haven't had to leave the city limits of Redondo Beach.
Well, tell us the lineup. Give us the lineup for the season.
Okay, well, we just finished Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. We just closed there in October. And then coming up in February at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center, we open February 10th and run through February 19th, Once on This Island.
Right.
And it's based upon the novel My Love, My Love by Rosa Guy. It's a Tony Award-winning songwriter team of Lynn Ahrens and Stephen Flaherty, who wrote Seussical and Ragtime, wrote this piece. And it's an original theatrical Caribbean adaptation of the fairy tale Little Mermaid. And it garnered many Tony nominations for its Broadway run. And it's going to be so beautiful. I can't wait to have the community see that. Then in June, Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, and listen, how many songs can you sing from Oklahoma? Like all of them, correct? June 16th through June 25th at the beautiful Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center, Rodgers and Hammerstein. You know, just a beautiful, beautiful show. An American classic, I would say. Then we'll close out our season August 4th through August 13th. With Monty Python's Spamalot. It's a musical version, as they say, ripped off from the motion picture Monty Python and the Holy Grail. And if you're a Monty Python fan, you will recognize a lot of the bits from most of their skits and throughout the show. It's big, it's splashy. We have the Broadway sets and costumes. And so it's going to look like $1 million or more on stage. And that's a real great show to end the season on. And then we've got some really exciting things coming up for the next season, 2017-18, that you'll invite me back so I can tell everybody Redondo Beach about them.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's what, four or five shows each season?
We do. Yes. We do four shows a season.
And you can do it by subscription, you said?
You could buy a subscription, which is a great deal. Also, you get a lot of benefits being a subscriber. If you need to exchange, you can't make it that night, you need to exchange your tickets for another night, you could do that. We have concessions in the lobby and everything, depending on which level that you join. And then also single tickets are available. But we invite everybody to come down. Once on This Island is good for the entire family. So is Oklahoma, though. I think the younger kids would be a little bored if they're too young. And Spamalot, I would say, teenager and up. But it's, if you're familiar with Monty Python, then you'll kind of know if it's right for you or the people you want to bring. Again, it's very inspiring.
We grew up with Monty Python. I'm curious if the younger generations are as familiar with it as we are. Joe,
No way do they really – I mean, I think it was the TV show that I really, watched a lot when I was a kid, when I was younger. Mm-hmm. I don't think that they watched the TV show, so it's only the movies for them. And without having that base of watching the TV show regularly, the movies are less overwhelmingly wonderful.
Well, it is hard when you do – talk to a younger person and you mentioned something like, oh, and Monty Python, this is that. I go, what's that? It's like, oh, really
right
to my heart.
Yeah.
Kissed me in my stomach, why don't you?
Yeah.
Right. My husband, though, he shared a story with me. He was where I happened to have a Spamalot t-shirt and he wore it out and was running and he said, hey, some kid said, hey, cool shirt. And he thought, my husband thought he was so, hey, I'm really cool with the young kids. I'm like, well, no, I don't think it's you as much as the t-shirt, but it made me feel better that somebody knows what that's all about. But it's an amazing show. I'm really looking forward to it. We did it. I was with Musical Theater West in Long Beach, and we did that a few years back. And I was lucky enough to see every single performance. I mean, the show is just fantastic. So, and Oklahoma's great. Once on this island, I'm looking forward to seeing. And that's, like I said, that's coming up in February. We just recently we had our fundraising gala just this last weekend in Cerritos. Went really well. We were able to. What we're trying to do, and the reason why I've come on board here with the organization, is that, you know, there's a lot of people who don't know we exist. They don't know that we're there at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center. So my goal is to be out in your fabulous community and raise awareness of that, who we are and what our mission is, what we do. And also, educational outreach is very important to us, and we're looking to establish an educational outreach program that can, when we're doing shows, to bus these kids, these students locally, to the theater to see the show when appropriate.
Right.
And also to bring some, you know, some teaching and some learning workshops to the classrooms themselves, talking about, you know, the shows themselves, the history behind a musical theater, what, you know, also the business of show, the business of putting on a show, what that means, what does it mean to be a producer? And if you're looking to pursue a job in this field, give you some real world experience. Have some keynote speakers to talk to these kids, let them know what it takes. If you're going to be a performer, you're going to deal with a lot of rejection. If you're on the business side of it, it's really difficult to get the money to put on a show and to market it and do all those things. But they're all really important skills. So we want to reach out to the community, especially the young people. We want to get them into the theater and, you know, get their, just awaken their imagination. Maybe they'll see something that inspires them that they hadn't seen before or knew about. Or maybe it'll bring up a conversation around the dinner table with the parents. I saw this play today, and it was so about this great story, and I want to talk to you about it. Like, I'll tell you, one of my favorite musicals is 1776. Mm-hmm. Love that. The music's amazing, obviously, you know, great story. And if you see a really great production, even though you know the outcome, when you see a great production of 1776, you're still unsure if those guys are going to vote that way. That's good theater. And it's, you know, it's also, I took my 10-year-old, my 8-year-old nephew to see a friend's production, and he was asking so many questions about these people in the state. And he went home, and, you know, now these kids could go and Google. He was on the White House website looking at the presidents, and that's because I took him to see 1776. So you can imagine the proud auntie I was to know that, because I gave him that experience and inspired him to look those things up.
They just had a production of that up. I think it was the Norris Theater.
At the Norris, yeah. I think it's the Palos Verdes. The Palos Verdes Performing Arts now, but
yes,
it's,
yeah, they just had
but
it. Yeah.
But it'll always be known. And I knew a lot of the cast members of that who've done that production a few times. The music is glorious. He plays the violin. I mean, that just sticks with me. If you guys know, that's what Martha Jefferson sings about her husband. You know, the stuff's great. It sticks with you. If you really, I like everybody to think about the songs that they may sing or that comes up in their head. I'll bet you it's a Broadway song. Yeah. Now, all this, and I'm saying how great musical theater is and how we all need to go and support it, and I certainly hope all of your listeners will come and discover 3D Theatricals and what we produce at the beautiful Performing Arts Center there in Redondo Beach. But I don't sing, so you won't be hearing me.
I hope, Gigi, I hope you have more events, some of those events that draw young people and all people into the theater, and those can be exciting. They don't have to be full-on productions. They can just be parties.
I agree, and that's what we're working on now. That's part of that's part of my plan. Also, I've reached out to the city so we could be involved in, like, the library programs. so we can bring some performers and some singers. So we have, for those of you who might be interested in a cappella groups, we have part of our organization is a group called West Beat. They do a lot of, during the holidays, Christmas caroling. They have a great a cappella show, so we could take that anywhere.
Right.
And, the sidewalk could be your stage. So we really, our plan is to reach out and really be part of the events in Redondo Beach. And like you said, to have more events to draw people in so you can discover who we are.
Right.
We want to be a good neighbor. We want to provide the best Broadway caliber entertainment we can for the community. And I certainly hope that after 4 years, if you haven't heard of us, if you have enjoyed us, that you will take the time to look at, go to our website, 3D Theatricals. If you're not interested in the whole season, pick a show that you like. Come see us. It's a great night out. Go down to King Harbor, have a little something to eat. Go up the street and see us at the Performing Arts Center.
Wonderful. Now, Gigi, we have a representative from the Redondo Beach Chamber and Visitors Bureau that's joining us. Bobby Christian, are you with us?
I am. And let me just say, 1776 is one of my favorite Broadway shows. So it's awesome that you guys are talking about that.
Right? It's the best.
Now, Bobby, at the risk of dating you, you're under 30, yes?
No, I'm not under 30.
Okay, you're under 35.
I am under 35, but I have a degree in theater, so I studied. Especially interested in 1776 when you find out that Mr. Feeny from Boy Meets World was the original Jefferson. You're like, oh, all right. I don't know. That meant a lot to me.
So, Bobby, what do you say when I say the Ministry of Silly Walks?
I mean,
what do you say?
What else can you say? I mean, I immediately would say the Dead Parrot sketch. That's the first thing I would say.
He's not dead. Yes, he
it's
is.
Not dead.
Lovely plumage. Lovely plumage.
Lovely. He can't be dead. He's so lovely. Listen, that is a huge dividing line. I think somehow a revival of the genius craziness of the TV show could do something big. I'm looking for you Hollywood types out there. I'm looking for you to produce a movie to introduce the new generation to the genius of Monty Python. That's what I'm looking for.
You tell him, Joe.
Now, Bobby.
Yeah, you tell him, Joe.
Yeah, you're going to tell us all about the fantastic things going on in Redondo Beach, right?
I am. I'll start right off by an announcement I have this week is that Holiday Ice is not going to start on the 18th, like we talked about last week. It's actually going to start on the 20th. So it's not going to be starting on Friday of this week. It's going to be starting this Sunday. So Sunday,
right.
November 20th, is the new opening day for Holiday Ice.
Okay.
That just happened, so I want to make sure everyone knows that. Aside from that, we've got some really great stuff going on this weekend. One of the most interesting things to me, aside from Holiday Ice, is that the Adventures to Santa that's happening at South Bay Galleria. Sunday, and also repeating on the December 4th, you can bring your pets, and you can get your pets' photos with Santa Claus. Called Paws with Claws, and it takes place at 7:30 on this Sunday. Personally, I go every year to get my dog's pictures taken with Santa Claus, so this is my chance. And then the holiday stroll is on December 1st, so keep an eye out for that. But the main stuff happening this week is with the Chamber. There is a mixer this evening, and there's also ribbon cutting. I made the mistake last week of getting them all mixed up, so I'm going to be real clear today. The ribbon cutting is the grand opening for Exeter, Exeter More Than Urgent Care. The mixer takes place this evening, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at Kincaid. This is going to be a really great mixer to go to if anyone's involved with the Chamber that wants to find out more about what happened at the meeting last night, or if people were at the city council meeting last night and just want to find out more about the Chamber, this is the best place to go. Everyone's going to be there. Everyone's going to be really interested in talking, so this is the place to go. Kincaid, 5:30 to 7:30 is a night. And then the ribbon cutting is this morning. If you leave right now, you'll catch the end of it. It was from 8:30 to 9 a.m. At Exeter More Than Urgent Care. But our love goes out to them, but probably no one's racing over there right this second. So that's what's going over on this weekend at Redondo Beach. Just one more time, the LA Rink Holiday Ice is going to start on Sunday, not Friday. Thank you guys
okay.
so much.
You know what happens on Friday?
No, what?
Grand opening of Shade Hotel.
Oh,
that's right.
Yeah.
It'll be exciting.
Yep.
Whoa.
You know, I was listening to your show online. You had the gentleman who's I think it's the general manager of Shade.
Oh, no, we had the owner.
Yeah.
And it was a really great conversation. I went on their website and checked it out. Looks beautiful.
I call it a Taj Mahal. I mean, it's not ostentatious in any way. It's comfortable, but the lines, the artistic lines of vision, it's all about the water. And every place you stand, basically, you have this sort of panoramic view of the ocean and the harbor and the boats. It's a triumph. I mean, it's really a beautiful thing. Do they have awards for beautiful hotels?
I think they do.
I'm sure they do, yeah.
Well, this one has got to be one of the most beautiful hotels I've ever seen.
Well, that's great that, you know, once you go see a show for 3D Theatricals at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center, you could go and spend the night at that beautiful hotel and just really make a great weekend of being at the wonderful destination that is Redondo Beach.
And it's beginning to be better and better and better. Redondo is on the rise, Bobby Christian. And he's off now.
He left us.
Redondo is on the rise. We're so excited, Gigi, about local theater and local productions now here. We'd love for you to have more events. To bring people in, maybe two or three performers, maybe performing like a couple of songs from a production or something like that as a centerpiece, and just a fundraising party, maybe a.
Well, you've inspired me. Maybe especially as we come closer to Spamalot, you might see some Knights Who Say Me around town just pop
yes.
in.
Yes. Neat.
Yeah, you just don't know. You may be seeing some gentleman clopping around with some coconut.
Maybe some killer rabbits.
Yeah, Catalina Avenue. We might see Tim on Catalina Avenue. You never know.
I think that would be fantastic. That would be fantastic, and it would really give people something to talk about.
That's my invitation of coconuts.
Oh.
Yes. Wonderful.
Or it's more like.
Right.
Right. Sorry.
But you know, you make a good point. It's just so fun. The community needs to get involved, and you see something like that, and what's going on there? Oh, well, look at there's some Knights going down Catalina, popping some coconuts together. What's this all about?
Some people will get it.
Only in Redondo Beach.
Some people will get it. Some people won't.
Yeah, right.
Well, listen, our hour is flying by. Great conversation. Gosh, we learned so much today. But can you give us contact information, how people can get tickets, how much tickets are? Give us some information so that if anybody's interested in going to these great shows at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center, they know how to do it.
Well, wonderful. Well, first of all of our show information can be obtained at www.3dtheatricals.org.
And that's the number 3?
And that's the number 3. 3D Theatricals. And just as a side note, the 3Ds are the three Dawson family members who put this company together, which
I
is and they're
ask
great.
You about that. That's what 3D is.
Yes, the Dawson family, TJ Dawson, Gretchen Dawson, and Daniel Dawson, and Jeanette, who's TJ's wife, they started the company, so they called it 3D for the Dawsons. And they're a dynamic family. They've grown this company by leaps and bounds in a very short amount of time. And especially during the time of the Great Recession, to start a musical theater company, that's no easy thing to do. At the time where a lot of people were closing, they've been able to grow. So it's to their visionary leadership that we're here today. But that's where you can go to our website. It has, you can find ticket and show information, dates. You can also buy tickets online. But our phone number to our box office is 714-589-2770. Again, that's 714-589-2770. Single tickets can range from $25 to $100, depending on what section. Season tickets can start from $120 on up, depending on what section you prefer and what night you'd like to attend. So, you know, there's different ranges of prices for tickets for every pocketbook, for every budget.
Is there availability still for subscription? Because I know some of the other subscription stuff, there's a waiting list for some of these, like the speakers thing and stuff like that. Are there still subscriptions available?
Yes, yeah, subscriptions are still available. There's also three shows, because we have three shows left. There's special deals on the three-show package. Also, you know, the series that you were discussing there, that's separate from us, the Distinguished Speaker Series.
Yes.
But we take care of all the tickets through our box office. Jennifer, our box office manager, is fabulous. She'll tell you everything you need to know and, you know, work out a deal for you if you still want to buy a subscription for our next three shows, and also give you information about our upcoming season.
No,
that's a great deal. That's a great deal, considering how expensive mm-hmm. theater tickets are. That's a really great deal.
No,
yeah, it's real reasonable.
Gigi, I just want you to, before we end the show, I want you to spend a few minutes or a minute talking about mm-hmm. auditions, and not just for, of course, you also accept equity and non-equity actors, but what about all the craftspeople? What opportunities are there for people to get involved in theater?
Well, you know, that's a really interesting question. All good theater companies are looking for talented tech people in every aspect, from the guys loading in and out, the striking the sets, to people hanging the lights, costumers, prop people. They need everybody. So 3D always is looking for new people. I would suggest that you would send your resume. If not to 3D, but to any organization you're interested in working for. In fact, I'll give you our mailing address here for 3D, for those of you interested in sending a resume in. 1255 North Knollwood Circle, that's Knollwood Circle. That's Anaheim, 92801. And then that's reviewed by our different departments in production and box office and such. For auditions, we post of our auditions in Backstage West and out on all the social media. And we do, there are some, we have equity contracts, so we'll deal directly with people, the agents,
mm-hmm.
and book those times for people to come in and audition, as well as having open auditions for, let's say, the chorus and such. So there's all kinds of opportunities. I think that people, if you're interested in doing this, you should audition as much as you possibly can. Even if you're not quite right for the part, to me, it's, as a director, I always tell people to go out and audition, because it's a muscle you need to continually exercise.
Yeah.
It's the hardest thing in the world. I don't know if you've ever had audition, but it's hard. It's intimidating, and you just need to go.
Now, is there an email? I know there's an address, 1255 North Knollwood Circle, Anaheim, 92801. But is there an email address for people to send resumes?
You know what? If you go to our website and our contact section, you'll see all the different heads of the different departments, and their contact and email information is there. So depending on what you're looking and what you're interested in, you could contact the right person.
3dtheatricals.org.
That is correct.
Gigi Fusco Meese, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I am so thankful that you gave me some time today, and it was great to speak with you guys. Now we have to get together for some filet mignon and some drinks.
Yes.
And talk about Monty Python.
Thank you. And, of course, thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
That's our show, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.